Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
One of the easiest ways to get yourself interviewed is if you are putting out some form of content consistently. You don't have to be publishing for a long time to start getting interesting enough to get interviewed in other people's stuff. But one of the easiest ways to get yourself interviewed is to be interviewing others also.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Good morning, Sales Funnel Radio. Today, I want to share with you guys a kind of a cool formula that I use to begin getting myself interviewed on other people's stuff. You know, whether that be a podcast or YouTube interview, or I've had a lot of summit requests. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, how do I go get myself interviewed on something if I'm not, you know, I don't have a following yet? And it's a slight chicken and egg problem, but I wanted to share with you guys kind of the story today on how I did that. Honestly, it's not hard, but there are some prerequisites, right? There's some things you got to be doing to make it so that you, first of all, are interesting to interview, right? And that's really like the first big piece of it. When I wanted to begin getting interviewed, there was a few things I'd already done, and it kind of started like this. You know, if you guys have been following me at all, you know that for a while I was like kind of a Debbie Downer about publishing. I was like, no, I will do all the other things except publish. Publishing is the thing that I'll never do. Like, and that first Funnel Hacking Live that I rode a rented bike through, you know, San Diego to, because I was so poor that I had to trade funnels for plane tickets and funnels for hotel nights and all that stuff. I remember biking to Funnel Hacking Live that first time. It's such an honor. I'm so excited to speak at the, you know, Funnel Hacking Live 2023. Woo! It's going to be awesome. It's going to be it's another part of the dramatic demonstration piece that just didn't have time to get through last year. So I'm super excited to share it. There's a lot to it. It's not like there's one last part. There's several parts. So I was biking there, right? And I remember 2016. Yes, I think it's 2016. Yeah, 2016, Funnel Hacking Live. And I was biking in there, and I remember telling myself, I will do whatever this man tells me to do, referring to Russell. I was like, this guy, although I'm broke, he helped me gain a skill set through his software that made it so I could trade for, you know, plane tickets and event tickets, and you know what I mean? Like, I could see, because I got through so many entrepreneurial attempts by that time, that what I was learning was highly valuable. And although I was about to graduate college at that time, that this would actually be what I was going to go do and not necessarily go the traditional route, you know, that everyone else was doing with their degrees, which is no harm in that. That's amazing if you did that, you know, no judgment. Some entrepreneurs make fun of that. I don't know why. If you love your job and you just want to make some like money on the side, that's fine too. If you want to shoot the moon and go all in, that's fine too. You know, we need everyone to just do what they love at their best skill set level. Anyway, so I was like, I'm going to do whatever this man tells me to do, biking on in, except publish. I explicitly remember, and by this time I was off my bike and hiding it in a bush because I needed it later to bike back to the hotel that I traded funnels to sleep in. I explicitly did not want to publish. It wasn't until, and I know that I've shared this story a few times, but I think that it's a powerful thing for people to realize. Like, I maintained my fervor about not wanting to publish as I walked into that event. And funny enough, literally the very first speech, I still remember the speech. It was about like the life journey of what an expert is and like how they evolve, where they end up going to. And, you know, the whole foundation of it was publishing. And it was like his first speech, day one, publish, publish, publish. He's like, publish. And that's still amazing advice. Like, some people make fun of publish your face off, and it's like, yeah, that's better than not publishing. You know, of course, there's a lot of ways to publish, you know, there's a lot of ways to get it out. But The point is that if you're not talking, the market doesn't know you exist.
Right.
No one knows you're there if you're not actually publishing. So just put stuff out there, right? That's, so it's still sound advice. It's still really, really good to go do. So I remember leaving that first day of Funnel Hacking Live, and it was almost like, you know, when like God and the universe kind of like slaps you upside the head and you have one of those moments, you're like, God, dang it, I was wrong. It was like that. I was leaving Funnel Hacking Live day one, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Because it was the biggest question on my mind, publish, that I didn't want to. I was like, I'm going to find a way to do this funnel game. I'm going to find a way to be in business without publishing. And I mean, it was like my active search. I still remember how much I didn't want to do it. Like it wasn't like this little chip on, you know, it wasn't like a little sub wish. This was like a hardcore chip on the soldier's shoulder. I'm never going to go do that kind of a thing. Like put my foot down, telling other people that I won't. I'll never publish kind of a thing. And so the comedy behind it was that by the end of Funnel Hacking Live, I had four or five different job offers for ClickFunnels, and I had never considered working at ClickFunnels. And I was graduating that next week, and I was like, holy smokes, okay, like maybe I should go try to work at ClickFunnels. Like, that sounds awesome. I would love, that'd be a dream job. My gosh, can you imagine? And so what I thought I was actually going to go interview for, what I did interview for, and what I was told I was being interviewed for, was a support role, because there's only like 20 people in the company at that time. And so, you know, if that. And so they needed more support, they needed more help. And so I left finals in the middle, you know, in the middle of them, and I drove, you know, 5-6 hours over to Boise, Idaho, which I had never been to before. And I grew up in Denver. And I interviewed to be a support person, but it wasn't until the end when I was driving away and already on the highway, they're like, hey, do you want to come help Russell build his funnels? And I was like, you'll pay me to do that? I do that for free. That sounds awesome. And I know you guys have heard this story, but it's all to illustrate the point that I still didn't want to publish even at that time. It was like 10 days later for me hiding a bike in the bush that I still was like, never, not gonna do it. You know what I mean? 10 days later, I'm sitting next to the guy who was on stage, speech one, day one, saying, publish, you idiot. You know, and I'm like, ah, fine, but no. I still remember how baffled I was. I thought it was like, okay, like you should just like publish, like it's what you should go do. And he's like, oh yeah, that's the right answer, but I'm still not gonna go do it. But it's still the right answer, and that's why he's telling us, but I'm still not gonna go do it. And then I was sitting next to him. The comedy behind sitting next to him, literally an arm's length away. I got long arms, but still an arm's length away. So I was really close, and have him in the middle of our workday. I was so loaded with imposter syndrome that I really didn't say much for the first 2 months of me sitting there next to him. I thought I was going to get found out. And so I was just like, I can't even express the fervor that I did all of my tasks with for the first two. I mean, the whole time I was there, you work your face off, and it's fun, which is amazing, you know. And I have a slightly different pace now that I'm away, you know, but still work very hard. Oh my gosh, but not quite like that, right? And what we had to go through to get ClickFunnels from, it was like 14,000 users to 60,000 monthly. I mean, it was a lot, you know. I can't tell you how funny it was that 10 days later, I'm sitting next to him as his employee, literally having graduated college the weekend before. Been at Funnel Hacking Live the weekend before that, and to see a guy who, with the rest of the leadership team, was in active discussions on whether or not they should shut down all their other businesses and just go all in and ClickFunnels. Like, it's that early in the game to be in that room, right? And now he's like, we should come up, my next book should be Expert Secrets. That'd be amazing. And we start brainstorming those stuff. But to watch him in the middle of his day pull his phone out, flip it sideways, and start recording a YouTube video. I'm like, what is the CEO of this easily, you know, coming up on $100 million valuation company already at that stage 7 years ago, 8 years ago, as to me recording this, like to watch him publish on basically every day. And it was another like slap upside the head. It was a gigantic false belief that I had. I got exposed a lot of false beliefs that I had just about everything when, you know, obviously when I was there. And you will, in any entrepreneurial venture, get shown those things very, very quickly about yourself. I had a lot of money ones. It's half the reason I became the capital's pig. I had a lot of money ones. I had a lot of publishing ones. I thought mindset was a joke. I thought everything was just a formula. 1 + 1 = success. That's not how, that's not true at all. And so it's like one of the largest ones though, out of all those, and all the ones that I could just riff, is the publishing thing. Now I bring that up because first, it's still true. It's still true, everybody. You should be publishing. Even if you suck at it, the right people will hear it. I get people sometimes like, hey, what if someone doesn't like what I'm going to say? I'm like, you don't have a big following yet anyway, so it doesn't matter. First off, this is, you're just putting in reps, right? It doesn't have to be world class. Just check the box for a little while, you know? But I can't find my voice. You'll find it as you go, not beforehand. Go. What direction did I take? Can't steer parked car. Move. You'll find it as you go, right? Anyway, my point on this is, how do you get yourself interviewed? First and foremost, one of the easiest ways to get yourself interviewed is if you are putting out some form of content consistently. You don't have to be publishing for a long time to start getting interesting enough to get interviewed in other people's stuff. But one of the easiest ways to get yourself interviewed is to be interviewing others also. And so I knew that I'm probably like 4 months into me working over there and getting my face rightfully slapped around on the topic of publishing and realizing that I was wrong and I needed to go start publishing. I realized that the only way I would do Sales Funnel Radio, which is what I wanted to call it for a lot of reasons, was that I wanted it to be some of my thoughts and then some of me interviewing and then some of my thoughts and some of me interviewing. And truly, the show has never grown faster as when I've been doing interviews, both getting interviewed and being interviewed. Like, people are like, how do you grow your stuff so fast? Interviews. Like, it's one of the key pieces of the publishing game, growing, especially growing organically. I don't think Joe Rogan would be Joe Rogan if it was just his thoughts all the time. And I recognize I haven't done interviews on this for a while, and part of it is because of what's been baking in the back of my head for a while on all of it, which I think the episode that went out just talked about what I'm going to be doing with this show. I'll keep Sales Funnel Radio up forever. The style of it will change just a little bit. I'll probably have other hosts come in, maybe. I'll move to Capital's Pig Radio because it represents a larger... Anyway, you should come to Offer Launch. Okay, come to the event if you want to learn really how you can leverage publishing to dominate a market, you know? So how do you get yourself interviewed? Number one, just be putting something out consistently, even if it's a consistent Facebook Live show, which I think is not a great way because it dies. Like, who's going to go SEO? There's no SEO around Facebook Lives, you know? Should at least be a consistent YouTube show. Well, then there's at least SEO there, you know? Or... don't choose a platform that has disappearing-based content, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Some people do. They're like, hey, I got big on Instagram. Depends what you're doing. But number one, be putting something out. Number two, interview others. And if you're like, I can't interview Tony Robbins, yeah, I probably can't either, you know. But I am a lot closer now than I was 8 years ago. So what you do then is you start interviewing those that you have a reach for, right? I call it reaching two levels up. Meaning, that was the name. It's a kind of a cheesy name of the strategy, but it says the strategy in the name. I kind of made it up, and I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to imagine myself at a certain tier of influence. And since I'm brand new and baby, that influence is very, very small. I want to envision, and I have no way other than gut feel to measure influence, right? How do you truly measure? Is it followers? Not really. You can buy followers. Like, well, how do you measure influence? So for me, it was a gut feel thing. And I was like, all right, for those people who have, let's say they're two levels up above me, in terms of influence. I don't want to go just to the tier above me. I want to go two levels up. So I started interviewing a lot of like the C and D level influencers and even lower, right? People who were active in the funnel space Facebook groups. People who seemed like they were getting a lot of likes and comments on things they would post in the funnel space. Sales Funnel Radio. So I'm going to stay on
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're gonna have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of chief ads officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Tunnel themes, right? Don't just interview anybody, right? And so then I went and I started interviewing them on their topics. And you can hear those, and you can hear how bad I am also in the beginning of Sales on Radio. And as I could sense that my influence over time, so I would do like two of my own episodes, two or three, and then I would do an interview. And then two or three of my own episodes, and then an interview. And every time I would try to find just one more tier up in terms of influence. Now, obviously, a lot of those people are a lot larger now, but just the stamp of the time of where everyone was at that time. And so it wasn't long. I think, you know, by episode like 40, you know, maybe 50, because those people were on the show and it's not just me, because I also had my thoughts on there. Here's how I got myself interviewed. Because I was interviewing, because I had been sharing my own thoughts, which I'll talk about why that's important in a second. All I had to do is put out an episode that said, hey, you guys see me doing interviews. You know, you can see that I've got a lot to say on this topic. I understand how challenging it can be to come up with a consistent content. Sometimes you're in deep flow. Sometimes you're like, I don't know what to say. I got to come up with some stuff to say, you know, and in those moments, I want you to know, I would love to be interviewed on whatever you got going on, and I'll show up, I'll prepare, I'll deliver for your audience. And it could be podcast, YouTube, summit, article, like whatever it is that you are consistently publishing on. The only thing I ask is that you have been publishing. I don't want to be your first episode. The reason I say that is because I didn't have that as a rule at the beginning, like a lot of people were like, how do I click record again? Now, what do you do to get this episode out? I was like, I'm here to get interviewed on your stuff. I'm not here to train you on, you know what I mean? It made it weird. I'll show up for anybody if they've just shown up themselves for a while, you know? So that's really it, is since I was doing interviews, getting interviewed wasn't hard. And then I just said, hey, everyone, go to interviewsteve.com. There's a form on there. Watch the video on there to see kind of what, you know, how it works. And then go to interviewsteve.com and fill out the info there, and we'll reach out and schedule a time on my calendar. I usually do 2 to 3 interviews a week. They're all about 20-ish, 25 minutes. And there we go. And that's how it happened. And it worked. You know, I got one or two who reached out and said, sure. And then because it's an episode, like it never dies. So like, I don't know. I kind of like put that back out every... I really didn't have to do much more than that, though, to be honest. Like, I think I sent an email out to my list just saying, hey, there's a cool episode that I did about here, you know, and at the end I said, if you want to interview me, here you go. And that was kind of it. Randomly, I would make like a little outro be Interview Steve, you know, interviewsteve.com kind of a thing. And it primed the pump, and I really didn't ever have to push it again. And that's how it happened. It's easier to get interviewed than you think. There's two ways to do it, though, and I've really never done the other. One way is to just go to your own stuff and say, hey, you want to interview me on your stuff? And it's like inbound, right? It's inbound. People are coming to you to say, right? The other, though, is I don't like it when I'm sure that I'll do more of this in my next strategy of my next show and stuff. But there's so many people that reach out to me. They're like, hello, my name is John or whatever. I represent an individual who wrote a book who's very famous, and they should be on your show. Could I put them? I'm like, ugh, I can't. If I don't know who they are, why would I put them on my show? You know, like I'm not. I know that there are shows out there like that, and there's YouTube that's out there like that, and you know, and that's great. But I don't know. I don't like that. If I don't know, who the person is, I'm not going to advocate for them on my stuff. Spend money to put this in front of you. You know what I mean? All right, let me just share with you real quick how I learned that it's like you can do a straight up just interview based show, and there's some people that do that. I have to tell you, I think it's dangerous. There's an extremely famous podcaster that every single one of us in this entire space and beyond knows the name of. And this individual was at Russell's Inner Circle one day. This is like 6 years ago. And I was not a member yet, but I attended and was able to sit in the room and watch. And this guy, he's a famous podcaster, puts like a new episode out. It's just an observation that I made, and it's a really powerful lesson. I was in the middle of like really getting my podcast out. Anyway, here's the lesson. Let me just get to it. Basically, what this guy was, so he's a professional podcaster, puts a new episode out like every single day, does 2 or 3 days of podcast interviews back to back every month, and then his team just chops them up and drips them out all the month. Right, really cool. But this guy had a lot of interesting insights about business, but because he never had any episodes of him sharing his own thoughts, like no one really asked him about his insights about business. Everyone was asking him about how he did his interviews, and he got a little frustrated. That's what I observed anyway. And I was like, how interesting. If you don't use your platform to share the fact that you are probably an expert at some aspect of what you do, no one knows. And that's when I was like, and this is the decision that I made. You don't have to, but I was like, wow, I need to, when I go create my content, I need to do a blend between interviewing and sharing my own thoughts. Otherwise, it doesn't utilize the benefits that the attractive character model brings to you very efficiently. And nobody knows, you know, no one knows if you're good at what you do or not. Does that make sense what I'm saying? That's why my cadence, and you can definitely see it at the beginning of the show where it's like, and please, guys, please give me some mercy for how much I sucked at the beginning of this. But hey, you know what? I just did the thing. you can hear it, but whatever. But you can see, though, the cadence of this. The beginning of the show was interview, a few episodes of me sharing my thoughts. Interview, a few episodes of me sharing my thoughts. Interview, sharing my thoughts. And then every time I do an interview, I'm trying to reach the next person and get them on the show. What I can tell has an increasing level of influence as you go up and up and up and up and up. And the bigger I got with that, like when you've done several interviews, it actually means a lot for larger people. Because it means that, you ever listen to a podcast and the interviewer just sucks? You're like, what? They just said... Oh, we've just figured out time travel. And the person's like, I own a puppy. What kind of dog do you have? And you're like, what? I got way into that question. You have no follow-up questions to that. What is wrong with you? You know what I mean? And like, so like some interviewers are just garbage, right? So it's or they ask the same questions that everybody else asks. What was it like for you when you first started? Dude, everyone asks that. Hard. Next question. Do you have any marketing? That was like 8 or 9 years ago, though. Like, I promise that's like not my best stuff. You know what I mean? I have 9 years of, well, I guess it's 1 year older than my oldest daughter. That's kind of how I always know how long I've been attempting entrepreneurship, which is 10 years now. I would say my legitimate first of the 34 failures started 10 years ago, which almost, well, right before, so it's like 10 and a half, almost. So I've been at this a long time, like, and they're like, how, oh, it was so challenging for you. Like, ugh, like, yeah, but do you want to learn how to write really good hooks? Let's talk about offer creation. Is there a way, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So as you get better, you don't want to interview the huge people at the beginning. You're probably not great yet. And that's fine. You don't know how to come up with the great questions yet. Like why Joe Rogan? I love Joe Rogan. I think he's a man. I want to be interviewed on his show one day. I want to interview him on mine one day. That is like number one of my dream 100 interviewing people. Him and like Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, Tim Ferriss, like those right there. Ryan Holiday. I love those guys. Those guys are awesome. I love all of them. What they stand for, how aggressive they are on the markets. There's like there. That's where I'm going. But when they interview or get interviewed, it's not like, how did you start? You know what I'm saying? It's like the level of the, like, you don't hear Joe Rogan asking all those, like, he'll certainly go back and say, how'd you get started? But it's more like, shares with, like, your backstory. And he's a good interviewer, though. Very good interviewer. That's not easy to, that's a huge skill set right there. So if you're like, oh, Steve says I got to go start interviewing people if I want to get myself interviewed. I'm not saying you have to, but it is one of the ways. It's the way I took. And it also really blesses you, though, because you get better at interviewing. Now, if I sit down and start interviewing somebody big, I've interviewed a ton of people over the years, right? I know how to be interviewed as well. Like, get your reps in, not on the main stage. It's like when people ask to speak on my stage or at Funnel Hacking Live or stuff like that. It's like, if no one's ever heard you speak before, no offense, you're a risk. You're a risk. Cut your teeth on small stages. Come try and speak on mine. Come, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing on publishing, same thing on getting interviewed and being interviewed. You got to be good at what you do, but being good at delivering what you do is a wildly different skill set that is just as important for a stage that they spend $4 million on an event to produce. You know what I'm saying? You are a variable until you're not. Like, you know, it's the same way that you always hear, like, hey, any person I've ever paid to help me, like, learn TV, like, because I'm definitely going to be go getting, like, that's definitely part of my strategy in the next two years to go try and get on Good Morning America. And, you know, I'm going to all those, Cabell's Pig, Shake the Nation, piss a bunch of people off who are weak, soft-minded. Like, that's definitely, like, I cannot wait. But what they don't want is you to go rogue. It's all scripted. You've practiced it. You've been on small networks. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with big stages. Same thing with interviews, interviewing big people. It's like, so don't wish that you weren't in that spot. It's actually your training wheels. Welcome to boot camp. You know what I mean? And so get good with, like, you know, smaller influencers. And there's nothing wrong with that. And guess what? People who are like B and C level influencers, I'll start with like the C and D's. You know what they want more of? Influence. They're very easy to interview because they want eyeballs. They're hungry for it. They know it. They're actively like, yeah, share with me the next speech. Like, interviewing that tier is very easy. Very easy, because that's what keeps them up at night a lot of times. They're like, I wish I was bigger. We're like, hey, can I interview? Yes. Anything. Just give me those eyeballs. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a hunger that they have. So you getting yourself interviewed is actually not challenging when you've been doing the footwork on your own stuff. What is annoying to me, and I'm not saying it doesn't work, is those services that are like, we'll get you on all these different podcasts. Those are great. I will probably use them at some time in the future, but it just wasn't my strategy. If you have a following, you're interesting for people to get on, you know, even if it's small. I mean, I started doing interviews literally episode one of this show. Like, it's not hard. Just start with the right tier of people to get interviewed and start interviewing, and then understand that same tier is probably going to be interviewing you for a while. And like, but that's good. I mean, I wasn't great at getting interviewed at the beginning. I really wasn't. And I was like, oh, I got to like come up with prolific, you know, cool things to say each time they ask me a question. Like, interviewing is not that challenging as long as you're good at, like, you know, asking the right questions and the right train of thought with them and doing some research ahead of time. So they're getting asked unique things that only your show pulls out of them and, you know, stuff like that. But the flip side is also true. Like, some of my coolest epiphanies come out while I'm being interviewed by somebody who's done a little bit of homework ahead of time. Like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never said that before, but that's so true. Like, all right, and they get you in the flow. Those are fun interviews. I guess why this is on my mind is I'm getting interviewed in 4 hours, and I'm looking forward to it. With that said, if you are interested, we are doing a lot more. I'm doing a lot more interviews now, which is so fun. Go to interviewsteve.com. And there's a form right there. Please watch the video on there. It's like 2 minutes. And then we went through and we cleaned out. There was like 180 people on a waiting list, but a lot of them were pretty old and not pretty. They're a little old, or maybe they weren't the right fit. So don't worry. It's not actually that large. So they have a waiting list anymore. I got out a lot. So anyway, you guys are great. Thanks for listening to the show. Appreciate it. Really looking forward to the next moves here. Just kind of documenting the journey. Today, I am getting my Cabell's Pig newsletter out. Starting writing the next one, and then tomorrow I'm finishing my event funnel, which I know I did a podcast about, I believe, yesterday. So anyway, you guys are awesome. Talk to you later, and thanks for listening. Bye.
You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game, and if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way. Go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says Interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.